It was literally 2 days after my ordination to the priesthood back in 2016, June, that I flew back to the Philippines together with my mom and my sister. And one of the places that I made sure that I visit was this small cave atop a mountain close to where my parents live. And close means it's an almost hour hike up to the mountain, to this cave where my grandfather, my paternal grandfather, was buried alongside several of my ancestors. Because that was the practice then, before Christianity, in that northern region of the Philippines. It was recently Christianized, or I think 70 years or so. Now perhaps, and for me, when I went there, I prayed. And for me, that place is holy ground. It's beautiful, overlooking the valleys and the hills to be buried. But for me, that was holy ground. And perhaps there are spaces in your life, you know, places like that, that mean something to you, that mean so much to you, that they are spaces of holiness. Maybe it is the final resting place of a loved one. Maybe it's an object or a picture. Or possibly it's the memory that you hold so dear in your heart, in your mind. But for you, it's a sacred holy ground. Holy ground, it's a strange term with a muddied history. And the simple usage of it has caused great debate and even bloodshed. We need not look very far to see the Holy Land with the fighting and the violence between the Jewish, the Christian, and the Muslim populations as each group lays claim to the holy ground, or the Christian in fighting among the various denominations at the Christian shrines or the holy sites. If in our fight for holy ground, I've got to wonder, are we not desecrating, if not at the very least disrespecting, the holiness we claim to see? But like our modern experience and relationship with holy sites and holy ground around the world, I don't think it's so much the actual ground that is holy, as much as it is about what that space or that place does for us or effect in us, especially when it affects in us conversion, a deeper relationship with the Holy One. Take, for example, Naaman in our first reading, a foreigner to Israel. Upon being cured of his leprosy, he wanted to bring back 2 mule loads of earth, literally earth, soil, ground, back to his homeland. But remember, it's not the soil, it's not the soil that healed him, but it was the waters of the River Jordan. You see, it's not the soil. I think the soil has deeper meaning. It leads us to a deeper meaning, that it's Naaman's simple willingness and openness to the power of the God of Israel, that he recognized that there is holiness there, that there is God, that God is present, and his willingness and his recognition of a God who is present there, that he wants to take that back to his homeland, symbolized by this, the earth, the soil. And Paul, in our second reading, sits in his prison cell and in chains. But he sees his cell not as a curse, but a part of his journey of the sharing of the word of God. He believes the ground on which he sits is holy ground. It is his faith that leads him to believe that even in the dank of a dark prison cell, one can sit in holiness. One can sit in the presence of holiness, for the gospel can never be chained. That was his conviction. The gospel can never be chained. It is always present. It's present everywhere. And then we encounter this lowly, this singular leper, a foreigner like Naaman, who after encountering Jesus is healed on the way to the priest. You know, for all we know, the leper could have gone on, right? Accompanied the 9 other lepers, showed themselves to the priest or went to the temple. He could have re-entered society and gone back to his homeland and perhaps go and worship at his own holy site, on his own holy ground. But instead, this foreigner chooses to return glorifying God and throws himself at the feet of Jesus. It is there at the feet of Jesus that he encounters holy ground. Brothers and sisters, wherever the word of God is proclaimed, wherever it is preached, practiced, that is holy ground. Wherever the word of God is opened and shared, that is holy ground. Wherever the word of God is witnessed and lived, that is holy ground. So holy ground is the River Jordan, but it could also be the Columbia River here in Oregon. Holy ground is the gravel paths of Israel, but could also be the sidewalks of Silverton. Holy ground is the prison of Paul to the prison of immigrants grieving their separation from their children. Holy ground is the sanctuary that we gather and worship, but also the sanctuary of our hearts, so long as we are open to receiving the word of God. So long as the word of God is present and alive, that is holy ground. And explicitly for us Christians, as a Christian people, we have a name for that holy ground. It is the same holy ground at whose feet the grateful leper threw himself. And the name of our holy ground is none other than Christ Jesus himself. That is our holy ground. If only more people would come back and throw themselves onto the holy ground at the holy feet of Christ. While we may wish to visit holy sites, wherever we share the word of God, it is holy ground. And unlike those sites where even Christians have fought about who owns what, the reality is that Christ does not belong to you and me. For Christ cannot be locked away or kept to ourselves. As we have heard in Scripture, the gospel can never be chained. It's not us who claim Christ, but in the first place, Christ who claims us so that we can become Christ to one another. As a community of faith, we are reminded that none of us, but all of us, have a claim on the ground in which we worship. And the way we keep this place holy, the way we keep the sanctuary, this ground holy, the sanctuary of our hearts, this place where we as a community glorify God, is by living the gospel. By living the gospel and throwing ourselves at the feet of Christ, over and over again, recognizing that Christ is our holy ground and no person or group should ever feel left out. But I think sometimes in our own faith journey, we feel so far away from the holy ground, from Christ. But remember that, but Christ, hopefully it should give us comfort and consolation to know that even when we are far away from Christ, the way to Christ is always open. It's never closed. And as a family, as a church, that's why we call ourselves our church, fellowship, community. It's never the singular I. That we hold each other and lead each other, lead especially those who cannot walk, lead them to the holy ground as a community of faith. In a way, I suppose you could say that we are all strangers, or we are all foreigners, and we are asked to journey to the holy ground together. That is very stark in our readings today with the first reading, Naaman, and then the Samaritan. But we are all asked to journey to the holy ground together. And this is holy ground. Not because we have made it so, but because we believe Christ is here. God is present here. Holiness is here. At this table, the love of God has been proclaimed and shared. At this table, our God is made present for us. So let us glorify the living God. Let us glorify the living God who can never be chained. Let us worship on holy ground the word of God that we heard proclaimed becomes flesh. The word becomes flesh and that we receive Christ our Savior, become our holy ground, our anchor, so that we, wherever we go, in our families especially, workplaces or our school, wherever we go, we bring Christ and make that ground holy. Amen?
Amen.
But again, it's easier said than done. But we have the sacraments. We have a prayer life. And we have the community. So let us lift one another up. Pull one another. Pull each other toward the holy ground. In prayer. Especially in prayer. And more prayer. And action too. Amen.